Okay, we'll get going. All right, we're going to
Hey.
go ahead and call to order the Wolf Creek Infrastructure Financing District. Today is July 29th. It's 11:01 a.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for our call to order, everyone on the call, if you could state your name for the recording and record. We'll start with the board. John, your chair, do you want to start for us?
Hi, John Lewis, Chair.
Shane Dunleavy, Vice Chair.
Jeff Reese, Secretary.
Brendan Campbell, Pinnacle Consulting.
All right, that's everyone I show on the call. We do have Christy Barker back at the anchor location. Christy, do we have any members of the public?
No.
Okay. All right, board first up, board meeting minutes from last meeting on June 30th. Have you guys had a chance to review them? They look accurate. Need me to put them up?
I reviewed them. I don't need you to put them up there. I'm fine with them. Anyone else?
Okay.
I'm good.
Same with
Perfect.
me.
Okay, could I get a motion to approve?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the June 30th, 2025 meeting.
Thanks, Shane.
I'll second that.
Thanks, John. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. All right, next up, second quarter financials. I'll turn it over to Brendan.
Right, thanks. I'm going to share my screen. All right, can everyone see what look like financial statements?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Thank you. So bonds were issued on April 1st, and so this is financial statements through June 30th. So exactly one quarter's worth of activity since the bond issuance through today. Really, we had adopted that budget with the expectation of and those numbers that came from the bond issuance. So really, this is a comparison of the bonds as issued and that budget we adopted relative to what activity has happened year to date. And so I'm just going to walk through high level and really probably focus. If you look at that right-hand column, that variance column, that's probably where I'm going to look to pinpoint certain talking points, just because, hey, we issued the bonds. This is what we said was going to happen. What's different? Or where are the variances, and those are kind of the highlights. So I'm going to start in the capital projects fund. This is really the bond proceeds where they come in. We send some money off to the debt service fund and to the general fund for operations, but we keep that money here to pay for public infrastructure, right? So what you can see here in the other sources and uses section, you can see we have the issuance come in, send that money off to those other funds that I'd mentioned. You can see a variance over here of $82,700 or $970 on the cost of issuance. Meaning cost of issuance is under what was originally budgeted by $82,000. And part of that is there's a couple of invoices that I noted haven't been processed yet, to the tune of about 25 to 30,000 of that, but about 50,000 of that was a contingency number. I don't expect we're going to use that at the 90-day mark, which is about now or is now. That'll get moved over into the construction fund, so that 50,000 will become available for capital infrastructure.
Cool.
Hey,
Additionally,
one question on that. Is it possible that 50,000 could be moved into the general fund?
I would have to go back and look at the indenture and confer with legal counsel. I'm going to guess that the indenture says it has to go to the construction fund. The question is whether the expenses, legal costs, could be deemed construction or capital or public improvement eligible.
I see.
And that we'd want to talk to bond counsel to see what their comfort level is and how those monies are spent or what monies are used to spend on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it gets a little bit more than you asked, but when you get bond proceeds, there are certain IRS regulations that come into play on and the way the bonds were issued. Certain buckets of money can be used for different purposes, and we just need to make sure that we're checking the box that they're being used appropriately, right? And
Right.
so we can ask bonds counsel to get opine on that and give us an opinion.
Sounds good.
The other variance I'm going to jump up to the top is this interest and other. Because we have money in an interest-bearing account for the first quarter, there were $245,000 of interest earnings on those monies. And so that increases the amount of money that is available for the bond or for capital infrastructure. And so that's good news, right? I just gave you an extra $300,000. I didn't give you anything, but anyway, you're gonna have $300,000 more in your capital project fund than originally, you know, budgeted.
Sounds good.
Brandon, you're so nice.
Yeah. And so the other variance here, you can see this capital outlay, it's about $31 million, meaning of the 48.7 originally put in to the capital project fund, you've spent about 17.7, you have about 31 remaining. You add in the interest and other items, you come down here to the bottom, you see you have about $31.2, $31.3 million available for capital projects or for reimbursements for infrastructure. So that's what we have in the capital projects fund. Jumping up to the debt service fund. So the debt service fund, these monies are solely available for and used to repay the bonds. They can't be used for capital infrastructure, can't be used for administrative costs. It's just the debt, the bonds. You can see that the money came in at the end of, or when we issued the bonds on target. We are earning interest. If you go up to the top, you can see we've earned about $115,000 of interest on the reserves that were set aside for the repayment of the debt. Again, this interest earnings can only be used for repayment on the debt. We can't move the interest earnings over to the capital projects fund or administrative funds. It's locked up here in the debt service fund. The other variance you see here is this debt interest of about $1.9 million. That is just a matter of timing. So we have two bond payments per year, June 1st and December 1st. We made the June 1st payment, which was $654,000. And then on the December 1st, we'll make that $1.9, almost $2 million payment. And so that should come on right on target by the end of the year. So while there's a temporary variance there, that'll go away by the end of the year. Any questions on this one?
Nope.
Yeah. And then moving up to our general fund, this is our general administrative fund. The district did set aside or transfer $153,000 at bond closing, and that's to cover these general administrative costs for the next couple of years. You can see that we haven't spent any money yet to date, so first quarter we'll be gathering up any invoices that need to be paid and getting those paid out of this fund, but we haven't seen any activity here for the first quarter.
Okay.
All right. Any questions on this or any other component to the financials?
No, my questions just relate to the last one I asked you, moving some additional money into that.
Into the general fund, the
administration. Yeah, into the general fund. Just if we're going to retain a lobbyist, that's an additional expense we weren't originally planning on.
Yeah.
To the tune of, you know, $10,000 a month. So, you know, can we move some of those interest funds over or that discretionary fund? That would be my only question.
Okay. Great question. So, Michael and I will round up with bond council and folks and see if there's any level of comfort with using any of the project funds for those efforts or leftover cost of issuance, any of those monies to see what legally we could put up into this to cover or how we could legally pay for those costs. So yeah, we can get back to you on that.
That'd be great. I appreciate that.
The way, Shane, the way I view it, and I think Brendan's saying the same thing, is each one of these funds are siloed from each other.
Right.
So they kind of have to be used in those specific silos. But I think we can make the argument, like we talked about before, if we don't get this done, it's going to pose a problem with the development going forward. So right, there's going to be issues. So that's one of the arguments we're going to make and see if we can just kind of push the envelope in making sure we get this taken care of. So
yeah,
I agree with you. If we can move stuff, let's move it and make the arguments we need to. So
sounds good.
All right. If there's no other questions on the financials, what I need then is a motion to accept the financials as presented.
I'll make a motion to accept the financials as presented.
Thanks,
Tom. I'll second.
Thanks, Shane. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. All right, next up is the contract with Stoke Strategies. We've had the discussion about it. Matt and I talked this morning, so we're good providing we can find the money and you guys are comfortable moving forward. Until we get the answer from bond counsel, as long as you guys are comfortable with having that expense as the developers, being able to pay, and then we'll work out trying to get the money back, then we're good going forward with it.
Okay. So just so I understand, specifically the question to bond counsel is it putting new money in, or is it using money that's already in that general fund?
Well, whatever money is in there, I think we can make the argument to use. Like there's going to be 10,000 that we're not going to use for the audit for sure for this year, because there's no 24 audit, obviously. So that will be available. What we're hoping is to be able to use some of the capital projects money. And that's the argument that we're going to try to make with them. Because again, you can't go forward with the development unless we get all of this stuff worked out, which is what Spencer's going to work on.
Right.
So the hope is use what's in there. But you guys would be the backstop on the development side if we're not able to do it.
Okay, so let me ask you this from another direction then. If the development company retained Stoke Strategies, could the development company request reimbursement from the IFD? Is that a better?
That would be something. It's the same question to bond counsel. It's just which way we would do it.
Okay.
That's the way that I would say would probably make the most sense. We already have that. Well, we have two different agreements. We have the admin funding and administrative, or the admin funding and reimbursement agreement, which would be what you're talking about. We would be able to put in, we'd keep track, and then have that money come out. If they would let us take it out of the capital projects, then we would be able to use the infrastructure and acquisition, the normal requisition process.
Right.
So I think it's just going to be a matter of what we can get from Gilmore Bell on the indenture and how we read it, they read it. If we can come to agreement in terms, I mean, Brendan and I will talk about it. I'll get with Matt. We'll talk about how we deal with them. And from my perspective, I want to push them hard on saying, hey, we need to be able to use the money, or the bondholders aren't going to get their money back because the development's not going to be able to move forward on the same time frame. So it's either we do it or we don't. Okay. So that's how I'm going to push them. Matt.
How soon do you think we'll have an answer?
Well, bond attorneys, I love them, but they're probably the most conservative attorneys on the planet. They're so risk adverse. I'll get with Matt after the meeting and we'll talk through and try to get a call with Aaron and with Randy. Randy kind of runs the office here in Utah. Aaron's pretty much the guy who does most of the legwork. So we'll get with them, push them pretty hard on it. Hopefully we'll get an answer pretty quick. What I would say for today's meeting is if you approve the agreement, that's okay. The district doesn't have to move forward necessarily, right, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But if we approve it, then we can move forward, providing we get the answers we want from the council, from bond council.
Okay. I guess I want to move forward with the lobbyist. I just don't know who the client is yet. So I'm not quite sure who's signing that document, and we're just in limbo. So that's why I'm asking.
Okay.
So I would make a motion that we approve the engagement agreement with Stoke Strategies.
I'll second that.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. All right, two other items. They're not on the agenda, but I want to talk with you guys about. So, Jeff, the email you sent to Matt regarding the state auditor's office, I responded to them. So that's now taken care of, just so you know.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Gene and John, I don't know if you were aware. State auditor's office sent out a blast email to all districts across the state asking for the development and developer's name. So I used the Valley Opportunity LLC. They asked for the point person. So I just listed myself. And then they asked for the CAO, which John, you are as the chair. They asked for the CFO. Shane, you're that as the treasurer. So
I don't
I
think
just
I'm the treasurer.
What was that?
I don't think I'm the treasurer. I think Candace is the
treasurer.
Oh,
that's right. Candace is. All right. I'll send it back and change to Candace.
Okay.
So, and then the other thing, give you an update on the trustee transfer. So prior to, I want to say it was Wednesday, I talked with Linnell for probably a half hour. So we went back through, it's interesting, you have to educate, 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 right? So I went back through kind of how everything's set up that, you know, the project fund really will act like the escrow account, how the process would be, that from the district perspective, we're comfortable if they would need to sign off. Because right now the requisition would go to John or to you as the vice chair. You guys would sign based on all the, you know, invoices, whatever. That if Weber County felt the need, they needed to be part of that to kind of agree to release those funds, that we were comfortable if that was the case. That made her feel a lot better. So Sean and Cortland, her attorneys, were also gone, and they were gone for the weekend for the holiday as well. So they were supposed to get back yesterday. I will call her, get a status report on where they're at, if they were comfortable with what we sent over with Zions to them, to kind of see where they're at. Hopefully we can pull the trigger on getting that done once they have said they're good with it. So I just wanted you guys to kind of know where we were at with that.
Perfect. That sounds good. We do have a draw request in right now with UMB. I anticipate that's the last one we'll put in. That went in, I think, Friday. So everything should be funded by the end of this week. And then, you know, we'd rather just move forward with Zions after that. How's Zions been? Are they good?
Yeah, they've been great to work with.
Great.
So you guys aren't the only ones that we're going to move away from UMB.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
That's going to start. And I would venture to guess, I can't say all of the new districts are going to go to Zions, but I would say the vast majority going forward are going to go to Zions. So
unbelievable.
We've been pretty upfront with the two big underwriters, just saying, hey, look, since they got rid of Josh was his name, who was the account manager that we'd been dealing with. Once they got rid of Josh, everything changed, and it's just been issues, and they refused to work on these performance guarantees. So they've been hardline about it. They won't even talk about trying to do, I mean, we asked Zions and immediately, you know, they're ready to work and try to find a solution. But for whatever reason, UMB is just, and there was a reason why they got rid of Josh. I wish they wouldn't have, but they did. He was great to work with. And there was a lady who helped him, April. So they both left. So
that's too bad.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we have a good solution with Zions. We've always had a great relationship with them. So I'm happy to see that continue.
Yeah. And it helps Weber County so close with them too. So they give Linnell that extra, you know, comfort level that nothing's going to happen, that they're not. She's just super, I guess, anxious because she's not familiar with the PIDs and IFDs.
Right.
And so that's why every time I talk to her, we go through the process, we explain what's going on. And so Matt and I did a presentation to all the county treasurers in the state. And that helped a lot too, because she was there. We got to talk through things with her there. Most of the treasurers finally started understanding. So that helped. But
oh, good.
When I call her back today, I'll go through it again with her.
Yeah.
So
I mean, she's new to the position too. You know, unfortunately, she's still finding her way. I mean, John Bond was there just forever. He was a fixture. So she's getting there. She's nice. Yeah. She's good to work with. So she'll get there.
I didn't realize this was her first term then, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
She's very.
And I see why she's
yeah.
A cat on a hot tin roof. Just that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So Salt Lake County changed their long-term treasurer. Sounds like they did.
Mm-hmm.
Utah County still has their grumpy guy who hates anything.
Yeah, we liked our guy. John Bond was a good guy. He just decided to retire.
Yeah. That happens. It's amazing how long those administrative elected officials can stay in office.
Yeah.
I mean, they can stay as long as they want, typically.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Anyway. All right, you guys have anything else?
I don't have anything else, no.
Nope.
Okay, perfect. All right, all I need then is a motion to adjourn.
All right, I'll motion that we adjourn.
Thanks, Joan.
I'll second.
Thanks, Shane. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thanks, guys.